Hey guys, and welcome to the podcast. Today's podcast is Ari Manis, and he's a good friend of mine that I've met, I think at a comedy festival, I'm not sure, in Arizona. Anyway, he's a good friend. I've had this backlog for a while, so don't go to any of the shows that we talk about in there, because they've already happened. And I hope you guys enjoy this one. This one's a long one. I don't edit these anymore, so I'm not sure what's said, really. Because it's been a while since we did this. This was like one of the first couple that we did, where I'm still trying to figure out the podcast and which way to go with it. So anyway, I hope you guys enjoy the podcast. Here's Ari Manis.
Is the lies we tell. It's the lies we tell. We tell lies.
Happened with the fashion podcast with you and Michael?
No, see, it's really weird. What happened with Michael is like, he needed something to promote on his Conan.
Yeah.
And he had nothing. He had
I remember that.
No upcoming shows or anything. And so I went through all this trouble to get this podcast up, and then I went with them to the Conan, and they just like straight up weren't going to promote the podcast.
They told him ahead of time, hey, yeah, we're not doing that.
Yeah, and he never told me or something like that. He said they don't promote podcasts, but I feel like he was lying to me, because Taylor Tomlinson or whatever,
promoted her podcast. She had a podcast.
Yeah, she has like a pretty big podcast. Like, it's on Earwolf now, I think.
Earwolf Network?
That's yeah. Cool. No, it's on All Things Comedy.
Oh, All Things Comedy.
Yeah, but so hers is pretty good. And
what's hers about?
It's called Self Helpless Podcast. I think it's like they just read self help books or something and like talk about it. I think It's pretty much gone off of that, and like it's just regular podcast type stuff now. But I don't really know. But yeah, I feel like Michael like lied to me about the whole thing, and then like it became difficult to get him to do the lying podcast. And like when
so this was the original concept from the start, with him.
Yeah, this was the original concept was the fashion thing, and then I was like, I don't think that's actually going to work, because I don't think people are interested in that as much as we are or whatever. Yeah. And then I came up with this one, and he was like, yeah, let's do that. And then when he'd come over, he'd want to do like characters and shit. I was like, this isn't like a character podcast. Like, I don't do characters or anything. Like,
yeah.
I'm down to
so you had some creative differences.
Yeah. I was like, I'm down to be
and
goofy.
Now you're no longer friends.
No, we're still friends. It's just like, I told him, I was like, I don't think we should do a podcast, because one, it's too hard for me to like get together with you.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'd rather just do a podcast where it's just me and like some guests, and I can just get better at like podcasting and shit.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
That's cool. Well, I'm sure you guys will make up.
Yeah, no, he's opening for me in, I think it's Santa Ana. He's opening.
Where's Santa Ana?
New Mexico. It's
That's cool.
Yeah, there's.
You guys should go visit Roswell. When are you guys, are you driving or flying?
Driving.
When are you going?
I think it's July 18th and 19th. I'm doing like End of the Mountain Gods and Santa Ana. They're both casinos.
Okay, cool.
Santa Ana, Joey Diaz was the last one to do headline it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Joey Diaz and you?
It was Joey Diaz, and now I'm headlining this one. Wow. I was supposed to open for Joey Diaz, but then he brought Dean Del Rey, and so I got backed off. And then they were putting me with another headliner that was like a road dog or whatever, and he had to cancel, so they moved me up from feature to headliner.
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah. So I was just be trying out new stuff.
I was going to say, I went to high school in New Mexico in Roswell.
Oh, did you?
Should go visit.
I've been wanting to go to Roswell for like a long time.
I'd recommend going there and the Carlsbad Caverns.
Carlsbad Caverns, what's that?
It's like, have you ever seen the movie Lost in Atlantis on Disney Channel? It's animated.
No. When did that come out? Like in the 2000s?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah, I think I might have been too old for it.
But that was based on the Carlsbad Caverns in New Mexico. It's just a beautiful, it's such a deep cave, they haven't explored the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
Because it just goes for miles and miles.
So there's like stories of like monsters and shit in there?
There probably is. I don't know the full history of it, but it's just beautiful bats and crystals and all sorts of shit.
There's something in North Carolina. It's like, I think it's North Carolina. It's like a a bottomless pit. Like they can never find the bottom of it. Like they put rope down there and stuff, and it just keeps going and going. And one time they like tried to put a goat down there, and then it like the goat didn't come back up. It's like weird shit like that. It was like in one of those weird bizarre North Carolina type things, but I don't know if it's true.
I want to go there now.
Yeah, I want to put in. I want to put a goat. Yeah, just jump in and try to find that goat.
Yeah, I've been looking for a cool way to go.
Yeah, they call it like the Devil's Hole or something. Like they think a demon lives there or something. They say they like hear growls and stuff
in North Carolina.
Yeah, I think it's in North Carolina.
I'm surprised you never went since you're from there.
Well, North Carolina's like kind of big. Like I don't know. It's kind of like I've never been to Northern California. You know.
Yeah. So it's never. Like, you never been to San Francisco?
Well, you know, like, yeah, I've been up there, but I'm just saying, like, more northern, you know, like,
oh, like Humboldt.
Yeah, yeah, I haven't been there. So it's kind of like that in North Carolina. It's like, there's not much there. Like, once you're out of the big cities, like, it's just fucking farmland. There's nothing to go see.
Yeah,
like, except those things. And who's going to drive fucking 8 hours to see a goddamn hole in the ground?
Dude, I would if I lived in North Carolina.
Yeah, but you'd be killing yourself, so it'd be worth it. But
are we, is this part of the podcast?
No, we don't have to. I was just talking to you.
It could be. I don't know. It could I didn't be. Know if we were recording or not.
No, we can. I don't, yeah, we're recording. It's just, I'd figure we'd start whenever we want to.
Yeah.
All right. Everybody, welcome to the Lies We Tell podcast, full of LA's biggest up and coming liars in the game. I'm here with Ari Manis.
Thank you for having me. I wouldn't say I'm an up-and-coming liar. I'd say I'm an established liar.
You're an established liar?
I've been lying my whole life.
Whole life, okay.
28 years.
You have?
I'm 28 years old.
28 years old. You've been lying as soon as you... Oh, my God. Yeah. That's pretty old, dude. Yeah. That's like too old for Hollywood.
That's right.
You should start lying about your age. Yeah, I would.
Right? I've been trying. The problem is, when I was new to LA,
yeah,
I was like, you know, I'm hungry,
yeah,
quote-unquote. I'm a hungry comedian.
Yeah.
And I went online and I was just filling out every bio I could, any comedy profile I could make, I would make.
And all I like on Rooftop or something?
Yeah, Rooftop or Laugh Stub, just all the places where a comedian could be found, I put myself, you know, marketing, right?
Yeah.
And I put my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, it got added to my Wikipedia and to my IMDb and all these places. And now when you search my name, my age pops right up. And I've since gone back and tried to remove my birthday from those things, but it's too late.
I don't even have a Wikipedia page. Like, I don't think, I've never like tried to put up one or anything. Yeah. But like, I always tell people I'm a Hollywood 26. Like, I feel like I can play 26.
Yeah, you can play 26. So, yeah.
I don't know. I got a lot of oil in my face.
26 is like, I think your limit. How old are you?
I'm 30, going to be 32.
Yeah, I think 26.
And I'm
going to
cut this out of the podcast. I'm going to cut out where I say my age.
Are you really?
Yeah, because I'm going to lie my ass off.
But you should leave it in, but just
bleep it out. Yeah, for sure. That's definitely what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
But, I don't think the age thing really affects us that much because, like, as long as you look young, like, you're fine.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I don't think it does either, but it is nice to keep it.
Yeah,
just a mystery. Like Ian Edwards will never say his age. I've asked him. I'd be like, "How old are you?" And he just goes, "You know, I'm old enough."
Oh, that I feel like if you don't tell your age, you're definitely 30 at least.
Oh, I mean, Ian Edwards is in his 40s for sure.
Oh, is he? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, he's older.
Who? There's somebody else at the Comedy Store that won't tell their age. Fuck, who is it? No, there's a guy in Atlanta that won't tell his age either, and he's like, he has to be like 40.
Pamela Walt. She has a weird thing with her age. She won't say her age. I don't know if you know her.
Yeah, I actually met her and you at the same open mic when I first got here. It was at that weird coffee shop, and you were
in West Hollywood?
Yeah, it was in West Hollywood.
Was it the Venador?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. And you were going, you had a, you were just reading a list of the girls you had sex with. And I was like the only one laughing. Like everybody else was like a woman there. They
horrifying.
Were like super offended and like horrified. I thought it was the most hilarious
Dude,
thing.
Whenever I am doing, I still use that whenever I'm doing a mic or a show that's so bad that I don't want to hate myself after for doing material. I pull out my list of girls. I have a Google document of girls that I've been with. And I just read the list and tell the story of each girl.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. I don't know why it's so funny to me, but, like, just, like, your cadence and everything when you do it, it's just, like, you're just ready to read them off, and you're like, you would stop every once in a while and be like, is this offending anyone? And then you just like,
and then do it anyway.
You'd do it anyway. Yeah, you'd do like five more. It's hilarious. I thought it was so funny. And like, I don't think I introduced myself to you there, but
time I remember meeting you was at the Big Pine Comedy Festival.
Oh yeah.
Where I bombed at that open mic.
Oh yeah. That open mic sucked dick, dude.
But I think I bombed even for like, it wasn't a good mic, but I think I did particularly bad.
Yeah.
And I think I don't remember what I did there, but I think I did something offensive there too. I can't remember.
Oh, probably. I feel like people don't really know how to take you sometimes. Like,
I'm a polarizing figure.
Yeah.
Some people really like me. I don't think there's anyone that's kind of indifferent about me. Like, oh, yeah. Ari, he's okay. People are like, oh, I love Ari. He's really funny. Or like, that guy kind of sucks. I don't know what his deal is.
Yeah, I don't know really what it is. I think it's just like they don't know if you're like an asshole or it's a character or like whatever. But I think you're just like a silly bitch. Like, Steven's the same way. Like, I'll introduce Steven Fury to like my friends. And like, just the way he looks like an asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I have to introduce him. I was like, don't worry about Steven. He's a silly bitch. Don't let this little thing fool you. And like, he usually gets along with people, like he's fun.
Yeah, I think once people get to know me, they know I'm silly.
Yeah,
silly if they're smart enough to pick up on it. But so I think most people that don't like me are either really dumb or don't know me and just are judging, because everyone likes to judge. I judge people too.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people I don't like that I don't even know.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I love judging people. And like, no, you were the first person I laughed at like an open mic out here. Because it was just so ridiculous. Like, I was fucking dying, dude.
Do you know Mitch Burrow?
Mitch Burrow, yeah, I know Mitch.
His first time seeing me was a good one, because we went to that Funny or Die open mic.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever saw that, but it's an open mic at the Funny or Die office, and they were live streaming it on their Facebook. So it was getting like thousands of people were watching, right? Yeah. So comedian after comedian was going up and doing their best material because they were nervous, because they're in front of, even though there was no audience at the open mic on the internet. I mean, you know, there was us at the open mic, but it was dead.
Yeah.
So the audience was the people at home watching, and they wanted to do their best stuff. So I'm watching it from my phone while they're up there, and people are just bombing, like online and in person.
Oh,
online,
because if people aren't laughing in the video, like, people don't think it's funny anywhere
else. And it's just, you know, it's just internet trolls, so people are like, this guy sucks, shut up. You suck, like, you're mature. And they're doing their best stuff. You could tell these comics are up there doing their best jokes. So I'm up in like one or two, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm not gonna do any material, because I'm not going to do my best stuff to get ripped apart online. I'm not putting myself through that. So I went up there and I got an onion from the kitchen, and I just chopped an onion for the entire 5 minutes of my set, and just started rambling about how Jews run Hollywood and how I want to work with Will Ferrell and Will Arnett, because I was at Funny or Die, and they ripped me apart too. They were just like, this is horrible, what is this? But I was just
who cares, like that. I'm actually supposed to, I'm headlining this show next one. It's called like Dope Fades or something, and it's like an online thing, but apparently they have like a good amount of people go to it, like 50-60 people. But I'm still worried about that, because I don't know if they mic the audience for their online streaming thing or not, so I don't know.
It's always weird. There's all these people trying to do online stuff, and I get it, but it's like, if you're not gonna do it right,
and nobody knows how to do it right.
Because I did have you heard of the Sycamore Tavern at Sam Tripoli's near him?
Yes.
Claude Shires, who's a really a friend of mine and a really talented producer and comedian, is doing this live streaming thing where you pay money to watch a comedy show online. So you could watch like an LA comedy show anywhere in the world live, and you could comment. So similar thing, a live stream, but a premium one. So he's doing it, and he books me on his show, and I'm thinking, wow, this is going to be probably going to be a hot crowd, because he's live streaming a stand-up show and he knows what the deal is. And I get there and the camera crew is the audience. And there's five people.
Yeah. And I hate that.
Yeah. And it was just miserable. So
Like, you still have to get, like, if you're going to a live stream, it better be a fucking, like, hot show. Mm-hmm. Like, it needs to be fucking packed out. You need to be telling people to shut up and, like, quit getting too drunk.
Yeah. Or like, or maybe just record it. And that way, if something cool happens, cool, you got a good clip to put online.
Yeah.
If not, why does it need to be live stream? What's the no one cares if it's live stream or pre-recorded. Just pre-recorded.
And most of the time, like, time zones and stuff, you're missing a lot of people. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Like, to me, like,
doesn't make sense. The whole live streaming thing to me is silly. It's kind of going back in time. It's like people like Netflix now. That's the future. It's the pre-recorded stuff. Podcasts. Listen to it when you want.
Yeah. Oh, is that my phone?
That's you.
Oh, shit.
Who was it?
It's probably like people calling to collect some money or something.
Are you? Do you have a lot of money collectors?
I don't know what.
Are you in debt?
I have a credit card that I haven't paid this month, but I think Verizon sold my phone number because I get like 4 to 5 calls like a day. That is just like from random people.
I get a few. Not. I don't think I get 4 or 5 a day, but I get one every other day.
Mine's getting so bad. I think I'm going to change my number and we'll have Verizon change my number.
That is a lot.
Yeah. So it's like 4 or 5 times a day, and like it's like then it just like fucking annoys me. It's like for no reason.
Maybe you could call and lie to them, and then you have lies to talk about.
Yeah, maybe I could do that. But
have you already told lies for your podcast?
No, I haven't told lies for my podcast.
Just guest lies.
Just guest lies?
You've only had guests talk about their lies.
Yeah.
Not you.
So far, yeah. No, well, I'll talk about my lies, whatever like sparks up. I lied a lot like growing up.
Like, were you... were you an innocent liar, or were you kind of just a shitty person and you've since become better?
Well, it's kind of like an innocent liar. Like, I had this friend that lived across the street. His name was Matthew Perez, and he was, like, from Florida, and he was really into hockey. Mm-hmm. And I was just, like, trying to make friends or whatever. I was like, yeah, I play hockey out in Charlotte or whatever. And
that seems dangerous because then he's going to play with you.
I was surprisingly good. I was surprisingly good because he wanted to play roller hockey, and he's like, all right, let's play roller hockey with this group of people like next week or whatever. And I stayed up like late at night, like learning how to like do the sticks and stuff in my backyard.
Hilarious.
And shit. And like, I got pretty good.
You're like, I gotta follow through with this lie.
No. And I got pretty good to where like he couldn't tell. Like, I probably was still sucky compared to them, but sure. I scored a couple goals.
Yeah, he wouldn't
and
have been like, this guy has never played before.
Yeah.
And technically, you actually were telling the truth, because by the time you played with him, you had played.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I rose to the occasion. And like, I was already a good rollerblader, so like,
that's
I felt
good.
Like it wasn't like,
yeah, it wasn't
I didn't
a big
feel
stretch.
Like it was going to be a huge stretch.
Yeah.
And then like, I told him I was like, yeah, I'm in this hockey league in Charlotte, which was like an hour away, and I figured like he'll never check into that or whatever. And then he came over to my parents' house and I wasn't there, and he asked my mom. He's like, what's that hockey league that Jason's in Charlotte? I kind of want to join one, and maybe we could be on teams and, like, you know, ride together. While she's like, he doesn't play hockey. And, like, I was like, fuck. And when my mom told me that, I was like, God damn, I guess I'm just not friends with him anymore.
Is that what happened?
No, what happened, I, like, went over, like, he came back over, like, later that day, and, like, we were, like, hanging out and stuff, and I was just, like, waiting for him to bring it up. And he's like, so, you don't play hockey in Charlotte, do you? I was like, nah, not at all. And he's like, well, why'd you lie? I was like, I don't know, dude. I was fucking bored. I wanted to play hockey. I don't know. I was just trying to be friends.
How old were you?
I was probably like 10.
Okay.
Probably like 10 or
11. And he's like, it's cool.
Yeah, he was like, it's fine, whatever.
Did you guys hug?
No. But we played very... We didn't play hockey that much anymore.
After that?
Yeah.
You so, did other things.
Yeah, we did other things.
After having this podcast, do the people you have on, do you trust them less after the podcast?
No, because I think everybody lies, you know? Like, at some point in their life, they have lied about something that's been so terrible or, like, so awful. But, like, you learn from it. Like, me, I used to make those lies up all the time just because I'd get fucking bored. And I was like, all right, I need to do something, you know?
Right.
Because I didn't really have that many interest as a kid because I lived in a small town. What the fuck am I going to do? Anybody had an interest, I'm going to do it, you
right.
know? And so, like, I feel like lying is something, like, you, if you're actually an honest person with yourself, you've lied a lot, and it feels bad, and so you stop one day. Mm-hmm. That's what happened to me. I was like, I'm just going to stop lying. And it was hard for me to stop lying because, like, you lie so much about every
right.
little thing.
You don't even think about it.
You
sometimes.
Don't even think about it. You're just, like, fucking
sometimes
lying.
Sometimes lies just come out.
Yeah. And you're like, why
like,
the fuck did I
yeah.
say that?
Like, you know you're doing it, but you're like, it's so weird.
Yes.
I've lied so many times that... I was trying to put a list together for your podcast because you told me the concept, and I'm like, I can only think of 4 or 5.
Yeah.
But there's no way that's how many times
you
I've
have
lied.
You have to erase some of them just to feel better.
I blocked
about
them
yourself.
Out. Yeah, I've blocked out most of the lies. And especially when I was younger. I think as an adult, I think I'm more open as a person than most, which stops me from lying just because I'm kind of an open book.
Yeah.
But I was definitely like a lying sack of shit.
I feel like everybody is. Because when you find out lying is a thing and you can just like make your life better by lying, like you just do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like even if you're making your life better just by being more interesting to somebody or feeling more interested in other stuff. Like I lied about hockey just so I could be more interested in hockey because I had to sell this fucking lie, dude. So I think like lying's good. And then like I think if you're an honest person, like, you've lied a lot, and you just try not to anymore. People who say they don't lie and they've never lied that much or they never were in.
Yeah, I don't trust that person.
I don't trust them at all. Yeah, they're lying to me right now.
Yeah, they're full of shit.
So, like, I don't know. What's, like, something that you've lied and, like, got caught in, kind of like me and Matt?
Okay, so this is I wrote this one down as the first one because this is a big one. I don't know if I've told this on another podcast, so I apologize to
all your fans,
all my fans listening to this. And by fans, I mean like my two friends from college that listen to the podcast I'm on. But when I was in college, I was dating this girl, and I was in love with her, right?
Yeah.
And
I feel like you're in love a lot. You're in love like every time I see you.
You know, it's like I like being in love. I'm a lover boy. But
what an idiot. Listen, this is what I think's funny. Like, your last girlfriend, who she was nice. I liked her, but, like, didn't y'all move in? Yeah. Didn't y'all move in after, like, a month or something?
We moved in 3 weeks into our relationship.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah. Did you say you loved each other before you moved in?
I think around the same time. But she actually said it first.
Oh, wow.
She said, I love you first. Geez. So she was kind of a lover girl, I think.
Oh, wow. Y'all both wear your heart on your sleeve.
Yeah,
I
we both put it out there.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, even though I do typically fall in love pretty fast, this is one of the first times in a long time since that girl. Maybe I'm just getting older, but there's no girls I'm in love with right now. I like to at least...
The fact you're just not in love with anybody right now is funny because I've gone like 3 or 4 years without feeling anything.
I mean, when I say love... I could be dating a girl and love and genuinely feel like I love this girl.
Yeah.
But I usually at least have someone who I have a big crush on or I'm going after that I love from afar.
Oh, okay.
And right now there's no one who I'm even like,
oh, so you
I'm not texting. There's no girls I'm even thinking about at night.
Yeah.
I just haven't met them. There's no one, there's no girl in my life right now that I'm losing sleep over thinking, man, I wish that girl was my girlfriend. There's no one.
Oh,
and
right. That's kind of sad.
It's normal,
too. Yeah.
But it's a little sad, but it's also like this is the first time in as long as I could remember that I've had that. So it's kind of, I've just been busy with work and comedy and just.
Well, I mean, that happens. I mean, I got to a point like, I don't know, I just don't have like loving feelings for people like that quickly at all. So, like, I think it had been around 2 years. Like, I'd been dating people and dating, but I'd never, like, loved anyone. I was like, or had a crush on anyone. I went through 2 years, didn't even have a crush on somebody. I was like, this is sad. This seems like something's wrong with me. So I, like, made myself have a crush on one of my friends so that, like, I would, like, I was like, I need to, like, have a crush. So I, like, learned. I was like, oh, I can make myself have a crush. That's kind of bullshit.
Right.
So.
Yeah, falling in love really easily for me, too, has gotten me into trouble because... I'll genuinely have this big crush on this girl, but then I act like it.
Yeah.
And then because of that, she gets this big crush on me. And then as soon as I get to know her, I'm like, oh, I actually don't even like this girl.
Yeah. So like, you're just hurting feelings.
Yes,
you're hurting
and
yours.
Then I end up hurting her feelings. And then I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I guess I just like the way you looked.
Yeah.
After all.
You fall in love with looks first. Yeah.
That's okay. So I was in love in college. Yeah. And this was real love, not the type of love we're just talking. We had been going out a year and a half.
Ooh.
Whatever, we were serious. And I don't want to say the whole breakup story, but basically I was 19 years old, 20 years old. I did something shady. I asked a girl for naked pictures of herself. she caught me.
Yeah.
And then, of course, first I just denied that. I lied. She was like, so you anything you want to tell me? And I was like, no. Nothing. And she's like, well, I logged on to your Facebook. And then still, I knew I was caught and I just lied. Nope, sorry, that wasn't me. And then she's like, I saw. And then I go, okay, well, and then I lied and I said, well, it was me, but it was just me and my friends trying to get, I was just trying to do it to show my friends the pictures of her. I don't even want those pictures.
Oh.
I was just showing off my friends. I was just like, just lying, like more lies, more lies. Even when I was caught, just lying.
Just making yourself look even shittier.
The shittiest guy. And eventually, you know, I begged for her back. We got back together. And then she broke up with then months later, she broke up with me. I think, you know, who knows? I'm not her, but I think it's because she never forgave me.
Yeah, it was kind of like a trust thing.
Yeah,
like
she didn't I lost her trust. Yeah. And which was understandable.
Yeah.
And so then, but this is my first heartbreak, my first big heartbreak. And I was just a wreck, you know, so depressed, crying all the time, just like embarrassing. I was like, looking back, I'm embarrassed of how I behaved. It was so, I was so pathetic. I was calling her on the phone, weeping. I was begging. I was just a little broken little boy.
Yeah, no, and, I think that happens with everybody with the, like their first love or whatever. It definitely happened to me. And then I was like, one day I was like, all right, you're going to have to man the fuck up.
Yeah, exactly.
Up.
One like, day I was like, I will and not I was like, do this who, again. Yeah, who am I? Like, this could never happen again. This is, I am, this is so embarrassing.
Yeah, I'm going to get on antidepressants or something. This is, I'm not going to feel this.
I was so depressed at one point that I called him. I'm kind of anti-pills too. I never took medication. I don't take Tylenol when I get headaches, like everything. And I called my dad and I said, I need antidepressants. I'm sad.
Your dad's a doctor?
Yeah, he's a doctor. Okay, so he just prescribed me some, and then I took some, and then my penis wasn't getting hard, so I didn't want to take those anymore.
Oh, wow. that just makes you more depressed, I would think.
Yeah.
That's like the worst. Yeah, I've been taking like Wellbutrin or whatever, and like that's been okay, but like my depression isn't like I'm like depressed, like I can't get out of bed. It's just like I'm just lethargic and like,
Now I'm more like that, but at this moment in my life, I was depressed, like can't get out of bed, having panic attacks. I was a wreck. So in this process of me just being a wreck and begging for her and whatever, I told her that I had cancer.
Oh my gosh.
To try and get her back. I said,
to get her back, said you had
I want her to sympathize with me. I want to be there for me.
What would you have done if she came back and then, like, did she come back?
No.
Okay, what would you have done if she came back and then you just didn't have cancer anymore?
Well, that's what would have happened. I don't know. I didn't think it through. I just thought, how do I get her back right now? it was very short-sighted. And, so I told her I had testicular cancer.
Oh, my God.
And that was probably one of the worst lies that I could think of.
Jesus Christ. I feel like I almost was in that same situation when I broke up with my girlfriend at the time, like in college. Like, I'd been having like these pains in my side, and like they were testing me for testicular cancer. And I like straight up told her, I was like, I think I have cancer or whatever.
I wanted, I'll tell you what, it was a lie, but I wanted cancer so bad in that moment.
Damn,
no. I really did. I was like, oh, if I had cancer, maybe she'll take me back or feel really bad. Oh, and then maybe I'll die and I won't have to feel bad. Like, I was just.
Wow, that is hilarious.
Yeah,
so that is some deep depression.
Yeah,
that is
dark.
Great. That is the best lie.
So I told her that, and she believed me for like an hour. Oh. She didn't take me back, but she was like, I'm here for you, and called me and was like, talk to me. And, and it felt good. And it felt good
because
she was back in my life for like an hour. And then, of course, once she found out I was lying, she was like, thinking, oh, he's a nutcase. This man is insane, and I need him out of my life. So ruined. Not that I would have gotten her back, but that ruined any chance.
Oh, for sure.
That
like,
I had.
I think that's the equivalent of like faking a pregnancy for a man. It's like you got
cancer. Yeah, that's a good. That's a good way to look at it. It felt like that. So that was like the first big lie on my list.
Wow, that is like, you might should have ended with that one because that was a pretty big
lie. Yeah, I just went in order of the ones of the timeline I went with. But yeah, that's probably the best
one.
Oh
my God,
dude.
Because like, I thought the whole lot was just going to be like, oh, I was asking for nudes or whatever. I'm like, well, that's probably happened to most people. And then I fake cancer.
Some of you are thinking, some of you are listening right now, and probably thinking, wow, Ari is a terrible person.
Yeah.
He made up a not funny disease, a very serious illness that someone in your family may have had, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I was in a dark place.
And you were
I was desperate, and my mind was clouded with, you know, missing this girl and love and not having had sex in a while. And, you know, don't judge me. Don't be a, you know, put... Maybe have a little forgiveness in your heart and don't judge me.
Oh, my God.
And I want you to know, I do a joke about this, but I'm going to say it on this podcast.
Okay.
Heartbreak is worse than cancer. And maybe some of you are thinking, you're a really bad guy, Ari. I don't believe you. Well, you know what? Ask anyone who has cancer and have had their heart broken, which they'd rather have. And they will say they would rather have cancer, because when you have cancer, you want to beat it and you want to live your life and live a long time. When you get your heart broken, you want to get cancer and you want to die.
So that is so funny to me. I think the moral of that story is, if you go without sex long enough, you will like tell everybody you have cancer just to get someone to pay attention to.
I haven't done that since. It was a learning experience.
Yeah, of course you don't go around telling people.
Yeah,
you have cancer.
Now I don't tell people I have cancer.
There's a lot of like people in the comedy community that fake cancer.
I think I know who you're talking about. And
I don't know
that,
if you do. Like, okay. There's this one. This person was in Florida.
Oh, okay. Then I don't know.
Yeah, but we're definitely going to talk about that once we get off the podcast. But there's this person in Florida. She's like in the comedy community or whatever. I met her a couple of times and stuff, and like she was roommates with a couple comedians, and like I was down there doing shows, and then like she had a GoFundMe go up, and like she completely shaved her head, said she had some kind of like.
So she
full on, dude, full on. She
did
got
she
like
get caught.
Oh yeah, but after she collected the $10,000,
so
and just
was this
booked,
a purely monetary?
Yeah.
Venture. She just wanted to make.
Yeah,
like,
I don't even think.
Make money?
Yeah, I don't think she was like in the comedy community like per se. Like she wasn't trying to be a comedian or whatever. She just would go into communities, fake a cancer.
Whoa.
And
oh,
like
so
it was
done this before.
Yeah. And it wasn't
she
even.
She was a con artist.
Yeah.
She
it wasn't even her real name. Like that we all
holy
knew her by.
Shit.
And she like shaved her head and
so
put
she's
this
psychotic.
Thing on her. Yeah.
She's
put
a
this
con
thing.
Artist. This is how she makes her money.
It was insane, dude. When I found
how
that
much
out.
How did she raise?
Like $10,000.
Wow.
And then like. Also, the roommates paid her rent for like 4 or 5 months because like she was getting chemo.
So she not only fucked over this community.
She fucked over
her roommates too.
Yeah.
The people she actually lived with. She just did not care.
She did not give a fuck, dude. She knew she was going to be, she planned it. Like,
and
I
then
think
she was
would,
out. No one's even knows where she is.
Yeah.
She got away with it.
Nobody knows where she is.
She's
heard.
She's entered another community. Now.
Yeah. Facebook, gone. Instagram, gone. Everything gone.
And it was all fake. So no one
all
really
fake.
Knows. But people have pictures of her. That's the only thing.
Yeah, people have pictures of her, and that's
so
it.
It'll catch up to her, I bet.
Yeah, I'm eventually. Sure eventually. She can't come back into a comedy community, I'm sure, because as soon as she pops up, people will be like, she faked cancer.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like in Florida.
She's horrible.
Yeah, and Florida's like
a
small comedy.
Con artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's dude, gnarly. It was
did insane. You know her?
No, I didn't know her. Like, she picked me up from the airport when I did the Orlando Indie Comedy Festival.
Oh, that's
Festival.
Nice of her.
And yeah, it was like her and her roommate picked me up.
So at the time, you just thought,
oh,
I'm a nice girl.
She was nice. Like, she was like completely personable. Like, we went out to eat and like, she was like fun to be around and stuff. So it was like,
wow.
And I didn't hear, you know, how.
Maybe
like,
it's one of those people. Okay, maybe she's so mentally ill that every time she does it, she goes, I'm never going to do that again. That was so bad. I'm such a bad person. And she enters, she's like, I'm going to start over and join another community. And then she joins the community, and then just desperate times call for desperate measures.
It's
and
insane.
She's like, I got to do it again.
It's like, I don't even know if she had a job. I can't remember. I feel like she did tell me she had a job. But it was really weird because I asked about her. Like, nobody said anything about it because, like, I asked about her. I was like, oh, I saw she had, like, cancer. I might even give, like, $5 or $10 to her GoFundMe.
Yeah,
I don't know. And, sent my message to my friend and asked him. He's like, oh, dude, we have got to talk about this bitch. It was
you need to
insane.
Get her on your podcast.
Oh, I would love it. If I could find her, if any of you guys know someone else that's fake
cancer. What
was cancer,
her fake name?
I honestly don't even remember. It's been like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
But I can probably find it, though, for sure. I can ask one of my friends. He's actually moving out here, Tom Feeney. So.
Tom Feeney sounds funny. I don't
know. Tom Feeney,
a funny name.
He's a funny dude. What the fuck is... It's another
on silent.
Dude, it's another bill, and I have it on silent. It's my laptop. My laptop's connected, so.
So my next lie I have on the list is this is a comedy lie. There's two different comedy lies. Ooh. I've done. First one, I was just moved to LA. I don't remember exactly how long I lived in LA. Let's say 6 months.
Yeah.
I think it was 6 months. And I was hosting the open mic at the Ice House. Pretty cool. It was a good opportunity for how long I've been doing comedy. Whatever. It was a cool thing. And have you heard of Comedy Time?
Oh, yeah. That's when all horrible comics go on. And it's
Comedy
like public
Time
access or something.
Is a company that goes to comedy clubs, mm-hmm. and they record your set with like a nice audio.
But they put their own
background. And they put their own backdrop on it, and they pay you $30 to do it, but then they own that video. Oof. And they put it on like Hulu and YouTube. And they've gotten bad comics, but they've gotten really good ones. Eliza Schlesinger's on it, Fahim Anwar's on it, Tom Segura. They've gotten really, you know, back when they were newer. And when you're a new comic, they have this popular YouTube channel. It's a high-quality video, and you think, wow, it's so cool. Like, I would love to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, also when you're a new comic, you think, you know, as soon as you start getting laughs, you think you're a good comic.
Yeah.
So I'm 6 months in. I don't know if this sounds douchey, but I've always done well on stage, if that makes sense. Like, I'm not saying I was always a good comedian, but I've never been the comedian that goes up there and bombs every time. Like, I've bombed plenty of times, but I've never been the guy that's, oh, Ari's going to go and bomb. He always bombs. I've never been that.
That was kind of like me, too. I bombed my first time I did comedy, and I was like, that will never fucking happen again. And I made sure that I, like, at least got, like, a few laughs every time. But I went up my first time. I won this stand-up competition. I'd never done stand-up or anything. And it was like over the radio. And they had me open for John Heffron. And it was like a sold-out 350 people. And they were mostly like moms in their 40s.
That's rough.
I go up there, dude, eat a bag of dicks, dude. Just fucking. I drank probably 10 bottles of water and still had dry mouth. Like, that I bombed so bad.
That was really rough. My first time I did really good.
Yeah.
And I think if I had bombed my first time, I would have stopped doing comedy.
No, I was furious, dude. I was like, fuck this. I will not let that be the last time. I think I did, I think I started comedy out of spite. Just be like, I'm not going to let that be the last time.
The first time I went up, I did really good. And then the second time I went up, I did really good. And both times I did a different five each time. Mm-hmm. And so I think even the first three times. And I see these comedians that were doing the same five, and I'm like, man, they're such pussies. Like, I do different five each time, and I'm doing good. Like, I'm so good at this. I was, like, such a cocky little douche. And so then, like, it must have been my fourth time. I'm doing the sold-out bar show, but it was, like, a good bar show in Santa Cruz. And I have a new 5 minutes I'm going to do. And I go up there, and I just bomb so hard. And I was like, oh, okay, never mind.
Oh, my God. That sucks so bad.
So that's
the first real bad, like, after that one, I didn't bomb for a while because, like, I was just, like, I would write and, like, practice and do, I would, like, say it out loud to myself in the car and stuff, you know, like, I would never do that today.
Yeah,
like,
I don't do that now.
That would make me feel
But, yeah,
like
I would
shit.
Call my best friend and I would do my set for him, like, on the phone.
Yeah,
like
I've done it in the mirror before, and, like, there's nothing like seeing yourself tell a joke in the mirror and, like, you don't even want to laugh at it. It's just, like, just fucking garbage.
Yeah. You're just trying to get the order down and the memorization.
Yeah,
down.
Like there's like I would forget what was funny about my jokes by the time I like set in front of myself in the mirror.
Yeah,
but like
I
have no idea why I thought this
I hope
was funny.
Yeah, you're just like I hope they laugh at this shit.
Yeah.
So I was new comic, hosting the open mic at the Ice House, and it was on a Wednesday when the open mic was, and that's the same day they did Comedy Time taping, which I don't think they even do there anymore. But at the time they were taping Comedy Time each week, and the booker, who just knew me as, like, this new kid that hosts the open mic, he didn't really know me, but he knew I hosted the open mic and thought I was nice or whatever. He said, hey, do you have 8 minutes of clean material? And I'm just like, yes, I do. I sure do. And he goes, oh, awesome. He goes, would you want to do Comedy Time? And I'm thinking, I go, yeah, I would love to do Comedy Time. And I'm thinking he's going to book me down the road. He goes, great. Someone just backed out of Comedy Time about 10 minutes ago. You're on in 10 minutes.
Holy shit. So, and probably since you were starting out, you probably didn't have 2 minutes clean.
I think I had, first off, I didn't have anything. If I look at all those jokes, I hate all those jokes now. But I think at the time I had 5 minutes period, and it was all kind of dirty. It wasn't like, you know, holy shit, this is filth, but I had a bunch of half-baked jokes after that, and I didn't have it. But anyway, so I'm panicking. I want to continue live. And I'm also, it was November, and I'm doing Movember, so I have this, like, prepubescent mustache. And I'm also, I was wearing my skateboarding shirt because I was skating that day.
Yeah.
And I have this logo on it, and there's holes all over the shirt. And he goes, oh, you can't have logos. You need to flip your shirt inside out. So I flip my shirt inside out. I'm wearing this red t-shirt with holes in it and the tag sticking out in the back. And it was inside out. I have this prepubescent mustache. I'm up in 10 minutes and I have to do 8 minutes clean to a sold out Ice House main room. So I'm just like, he goes, all right, you're on 10 minutes or 15. I don't remember what it was. So I'm walking around the Ice House, looking through my joke book, just getting like any half-baked premise that's clean, just anything I have, just putting a thing together and just practicing it in those 10 minutes.
Jesus Christ. That is terrifying.
So then they call me up. I go up. I actually have a great set.
Wow.
It all worked. Like everything that, because it was this easy, full Ice House crowd in the main room. And for whatever reason, the gods were smiling down upon me, whatever. I ended up having a really good set, but it was still horrible. Like the jokes weren't jokes. It was a horrible one.
Is it still up?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm going to watch
this. And not only is it up, it's like the first thing that pops up because it's popular. And I've emailed them asking them to take it down and they won't take it down and all these things. And I watch it and I cringe and I'm nervous and I'm holding the mic with both hands because of how nervous I was. I have this mustache and just, it's horrible. Oh, it just doesn't represent me as a comedian. I don't do any of those jokes anymore. Yeah. And I hated it. And so I lied to get that. And I guess that's karma for lying.
Yeah, dude. That is insane. But like I thought of that. Like I was pretty smart when I started out. I thought of that, like people recording me and stuff like that. So I spelled my name completely different.
That's smart.
And so like I didn't change my name until I was like, or I didn't go by my regular name until I was already like established. And then
well,
I was,
see,
like,
so you were smart enough to just know that you weren't good.
Yeah.
In my head, I thought I was good because I was doing good.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm a good comedian. I'm just ego, whatever. I don't know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I wasn't good. So I'm probably still not good. I think I'm good now. I'm probably still not good.
You're good.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah. So no, I guess I listen to like a lot of comedy podcasts and they're like, oh, you suck for like at least the first 5 years or something.
Right.
I'm like, well, I'm just going to take a precaution and just do this.
Yeah, I ignored everyone. I'm like, maybe that's for most people. I'm good already. 6 months in, I'm good. I do good. I'm good.
No, I didn't think I was a fucking like savant or anything. I was like, it's going to take me a while. So
yeah. So that was my lie. And then the next lie I did, this one, no regrets still. Actually, it ended up getting karma again. But have you heard of a triple run?
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah. Have
you done that?
I've done a couple.
Okay. You're doing one?
Yeah, I'm doing.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing one, but they're paying me more than like the normal triple run. So
they are,
like,
okay.
It's going to be worth it, hopefully.
My friend, Patrick O'Sullivan, goes on the road and does, he does a, you know, I guess a bunch of these low-paying comedy gigs on the road just because he wants to go do comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm young again, and we're performing at the Hooters on Hollywood Boulevard. And I go, that sounds so awesome. I would like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, well, I could set you up with that. And he goes, do you have 30 minutes? And I go, yeah, 30 Jeez. Minutes. And I'm thinking, it won't matter. It's out on the road. It'll force me to get 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I'll do crowd work, whatever. I'll figure it out. So he gets me the gig, and I'm doing, so I'm driving to Oregon to do 30 minutes to feature for some comic I've never heard of. And I drove 18 hours from LA to Newport, Oregon.
Jesus Christ.
No, Klamath Falls, Oregon.
Yeah, and this is probably for what, $100, maybe 50?
Yeah, it was 100 or 150 bucks, barely covers the gas. Plus, I got a speeding ticket on the way up there.
And then you got 18 hours to go back.
Yeah, and I'm doing wear and tear on my car, and I got, you know, they pay for your food and hotel once you're up there, but it's just on the drive up here, I'm like, oh, this is miserable.
You didn't even book stuff on the way there either.
I booked nothing on the way there. I didn't have I don't have merch. It was,
it's
just
like
I was doing it
flat.
I obviously wasn't doing it for the money. You know, I was hoping to break even, which I didn't do, but I was hoping, you know, I'm going to get 30 minutes in front of a good show. It'll force me to just grow as a comedian or bomb or whatever happens, but I'm gonna do a hot show and see what I can do. And I drove there, and it was like 10 people in a bowling alley that I had to perform in front of. It was so bad. Like, I bombed horrendously, but and I didn't have 30 minutes, of course, so which made me bomb even harder. But looking back, even if I went now, I would have bought. Like, it was a terrible show.
Yeah, no. Triple runs are, like, known for, like, you're not going to do well.
Right.
Like, even if you do, you're not going to feel good about it. You know? Like, what you had to do to do well in those places. Right. No, you're not feeling good about yourself.
So...
You probably faked cancer to get out of it.
Yeah, yeah. So that was, I lied to get there, and it was rough. I actually remember the guy behind the bar going, like, it was so bad. And one lady came up to me and said I was the worst comedian she'd ever seen. And then...
that is hilarious.
Which is so mean, because she was drunk, but it was like, you don't need to say anything. Yeah. You know, you didn't need to say that. But then the bartender was like, hey, man... I'm going to tell the owner you did really good. And I'm like, thanks.
Yep.
Guy didn't even care. Yeah. I was like, I won't be doing this again.
Yeah, like a one job 18 hours for $1.50.
But he felt bad for me. Yeah. Just the whole, I think he felt bad for the whole situation. Like the bomb, the fact that I drove there. Like he's just like, man, like this kid lives a horrible life. He's here performing for $100 and he's from Los Angeles. Like, he must be thinking, I do not. That was, okay, you know how there's a lot of times where people watch comedy and it makes them want to become comedians?
Yeah.
This was the opposite of that. If anyone watched that, they would be like, I never want to be a comedian. That sounds horrible.
That's terrible. Like, did you, like, grow up, like, loving comedy and stuff?
Yeah, I watched it all the time.
Like, the only thing I think I ever watched was The Kings of Comedy. That was, like, all I knew about stand-up, and I didn't care anything about doing
it. D.L. Hughley.
Yeah, Daryl Hughley, Bernie Mac, Steve Harvey.
Yeah.
Who was the other one? Oh, Cedric the Entertainer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
so. I remember that. I don't remember if I watched that. I think I might have been racist as a child.
Probably.
No, because I love Chris Rock and Chappelle.
Yeah, I had Bigger and Blacker on DVD, but I had, like, Kings of Comedy on VHS. So I had two copies on VHS because I wore the first one down. But, like, that's all I knew. I didn't think, like, I honestly didn't think white people could do comedy. I've never seen a white person do comedy until, like, Blue Collar came along, and I was like, I don't like this at all.
Yeah. Like, these two polar opposites, Blue Collar.
Yeah, those were the only things that, like, got around in the South, because they filmed The Kings of Comedy in Charlotte, which is, like, an hour away, which is where I played ice hockey. When I was younger.
Oh, you ended up playing hockey?
No.
After the hockey lot?
No, I definitely didn't. They didn't even have a hockey league.
Oh, you were good. You just got it. You were continuing to lie.
So, like, I knew that and, like, that one. And then, like, I just, like, got pushed into it, basically, and then fell in love with it after the fact. But, yeah, man, that is hilarious. Fucking 18 hours.
So long.
See, I traveled maybe 10 minutes to my first one. And that was it. And I didn't get paid or anything. But
I didn't get. I don't remember my first paid comedy gig, but maybe Ice House, $30 or something.
My first paid one was I think it was in Asheville. I think I hosted for somebody. I don't remember who it was, but I got $15, and it was a check. And I was like, "Fuck, dude! I'm too embarrassed to take this to the bank." To cash a $15 check.
Really?
Yeah.
That doesn't embarrass me.
Oh, dude. I've
cashed $12 checks before.
Well, like, I knew the people at the bank and stuff, and, like, they knew I did comedy. I was like, I don't want them knowing how much, like, I get.
And they didn't have the remote deposit at this point?
No.
Or you do it from your phone?
My bank at home still does not have that shit, and it pisses me off. But, so, like, I have my bank account set up through my PayPal and stuff, so, and I have a PayPal, like, debit card, so I'm like... I just use PayPal basically for everything.
Really? Yeah. Oh, you don't have, even now you're with a local bank, you don't have Chase or Wells
Fargo? Yeah, because like anytime I go to Chase or Wells Fargo, like something happens where, like, because I always keep this bank because, like, that's where a majority of my money is and I still, like, pay bills and stuff out of it.
Yeah.
And it's just like a hassle to change
Switch.
It. And like I opened a Wells Fargo account and like I put $100 in there and like used the debit card a couple times or whatever. And then, it got to a zero balance, and every time it was at a zero balance, they would charge me $35 every time
was... Now they have a thing where you could shut that off to where it just won't let you use it when you have zero balance, so you don't get charged.
Oh, I owe them like $200 right now. I was like, good fucking luck getting that from me. I'm canceling this
card.
And
you have a credit card too, right?
Yeah.
A regular card?
I have a credit card.
All right, so you're not... You're with a tiny little local bank. You're still a little farm boy.
Yeah, still a little farm boy, dude. Trust them. I trust them. I don't trust anybody
else.
Yeah,
you know them.
Yeah. I know them personally. My money gets missing. I'm going down to that fucking bank and I'm talking to Pam.
Okay, my next lie. I run a little Airbnb business, as you know.
Yeah, I know that. And I tried that for a brief second.
I've had a few bad experiences lately myself, but I still do it because I don't live there. Mm-hmm. Not mine. But my place at Airbnb, I'm lying because I told the landlord that I live there at three different places. So I'm renting three apartments right now.
And you're living at all of them?
I don't live at any of them.
I know, but you're telling him you live at all of them. How does he believe
it? Three different landlords.
Oh, three different. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I was about to thought it was one complex.
But they all think that I live there.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good lie.
That's a good lie.
I got going.
Yeah, that one's one you can get caught in, like, in trouble. Like, what would they do? They
no,
just
I
evict
think
you?
Worst they would just... I don't even think they'd... No one wants to go through an eviction process. So if I got caught, I think they would just say, hey, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop doing it. Hey, you know, we caught you lying.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it.
Yeah, don't do it. Yeah, because, like, isn't the eviction process in fact, California
that's happened
really
to me
hard?
I got... in fact, I've been caught in the lie. Mm-hmm. We rented a unit, said we were living there. The neighbors complained. Landlord says, hey, I know what you're doing. Cut it out. And then I said, I still had time left on the lease.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, I'll be honest. I actually still wasn't honest. They said I'm a comedian and I Airbnb it when I go out of town. Mm-hmm. It's the only way I could afford the place. Can I find someone to take over the lease? Because I can't afford to live here. Yeah. And he's like, okay. And so that was that. So, yeah, I'm still living that lie. In fact,
that's not that bad. I feel like everybody in LA is doing that.
Hopefully none of them listen to this.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like every comedian Airbnb is like, it was a nice thing. And when I was Airbnb and just like go on the road for 2 weeks and don't have to worry, like I get a couple, like $400 or whatever. That's like almost half rent. So
yeah,
it's not that like it's a good deal, but I went about it the wrong way. And like, yeah, it destroyed.
Well, you had a terrible experience, plus you have a roommate.
Yeah, I also have a roommate.
And you also, your building is kind of hard. There's
no,
like, self-check-in.
Yeah.
So, there's things I look for now in units, like self-check-in, are the neighbors going to notice, things like that. But, yeah, and, I actually had my apartment recently. I went to Mexico for the weekend for my friend's bachelor party on a cruise. And I Airbnb'd where I live, where I actually live.
Yeah.
To help pay for the cruise, and I get back and they had robbed my apartment. This happened like 2 weeks ago.
Are you serious?
Yeah, my whole place. They stole my guitar, my bass guitar, my camera lenses, my audio recording equipment, my gun.
Oh, so you don't even have your podcast equipment anymore.
I had rebought it.
Oh, you rebought it?
Because I had to go through like insurance and all this.
Did you go through
Airbnb? Yeah.
And they paid you?
They paid me.
They
but it took a couple of weeks.
Yeah, they still haven't paid me yet.
How? And yours was a long time ago.
Yeah, but like,
why haven't they paid you?
Well, they wouldn't get in touch with me. Like,
yeah,
I'd kept,
hound them.
Yeah, I hounded them every day and they wouldn't get in touch with me. And then I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, because it was like a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like, they ruined everything I had.
Yeah.
And so I finally, someone told me, I started workshopping this fucking like story. Like, it's like 10 minutes. I was going to try to do it on like, this is not happening or something.
Yeah.
And so I was already workshopping that thing. And then somebody came up to me that like worked at Airbnb or whatever. And they were like, if you just like send them a tweet, like they'll get back to you like immediately. And sure enough, they did. Like,
that's
tweeted them. Yeah. I tweeted them and like, somebody called me like within 5 minutes. And so we started doing this thing, and then my dad had a heart attack, so I had to go back to North Carolina, so I couldn't get all the stuff together that they needed. Like, I had to get a police report and stuff. And, like, the police report, like, you have to send $24 and then wait to get that back. So I was like, I don't know how long that's going to take. And so I told him, I was like, I'll try to do it by the end of May 30th, like, whenever I get that thing back, and I'll just be in contact with you if I haven't got it back yet. And so that's where I'm at right now.
You're waiting on the police report still?
Yeah, waiting on the police report.
So did you call the police right when it happened or no?
Yeah, I had to. Yeah. Like, they were doing heroin in my apartment.
Yeah.
And so, and like, they weren't getting up. And like, there were two guys doing heroin and two prostitutes in here. And like, I looked in here and everything was ruined. Just everything. It stunk, dude. Like,
Same things happened at one of my other places, but I didn't live there.
Yeah.
But I got there once and there was like four homeless people doing drugs, and the place just smelled like a cigarette. It was
disgusting. Yeah, that's what it was. It smelled like cigarette.
Oh, it could have been the same people.
Oh, maybe. I can show you like pictures of them, but anyway, like windows, which is weird. Like, it was, there was condensation on the windows, so like they had locked themselves up in here, and like had just been like their body heat and shit. Like they didn't even turn on the air conditioner or anything. It was really fucking weird. It was just disgusting. There's fingernails everywhere. It's terrible. Terrible experience. But I think we're getting close to our time for the podcast.
Got one more.
You got one more?
I got one more. I joined seekingarrangements.com, which is a site for like sugar daddies.
Oh, yeah.
And I pretended to be a sugar daddy to try pick up a girl.
Well, I feel like they kind of deserve it if you're getting a sugar daddy. What happened, though?
You know what? I ended up being honest on it, and I just stood out as this young guy on there.
Yeah.
And I might have gotten a girl.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Even though she knew you were poor.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's incredible.
Those are all my lies that I could think of.
Yeah, those are good lies, though. Those are, like, solid ones. Like, I know why it took you, like, a while to dig deep and, like, think of, like, your best ones because... I mean, you probably lied a lot. If those are your biggest lies, there's some like medium-sized lies that are still good.
Yeah, or my best ones I blocked out, maybe.
Yeah, like you're going
like there's some that are so bad where I'm like, oh, I could get in trouble if I share those. I legitimately did think of one. There's one lie that I can't talk about.
Oh, you can't?
Yeah. Nothing like that would make any of the listeners hate me or anything,
yeah.
But I can't talk about because...
Legal reasons?
Yeah, legal reasons.
Okay, I'm definitely going to ask you about that, and I might tell everybody else later. I'd be like, if you remember, there was a comedian that said he couldn't tell. It would just be like, this is the first episode out or something, and they're going to know. But, all right, I'm going to try this where we do two lies and a truth instead of two truths and a lie. So you got to tell me two lies and one truth, and I got to tell you which one's the truth.
Oh, I forgot we were doing this.
Oh, I don't know if I told you we were doing that.
Okay, so I tell two lies and a truth.
Two lies and a truth.
Okay.
This tests you on how good you are.
I should have been prepared for this.
No, I like that you're not prepared because this like shows me if you're actually good at lying on the spot. And if I can tell, I'm usually really good at being able to tell people can lie.
Especially when you're giving it to me right now.
Look, dude, he's getting so...
I think it's going to be obvious for you and everyone. I'm just stalling right now trying to think of stuff.
Oh, dude, your whole body language is just like you're sweating.
I usually feel like I'm a decent liar, but when you're telling me to lie and telling you the truth. Okay. When I was 12 years old, I threatened to kill my whole family. And my mom called the cops on me. And the cop was like, get in the cop car. And shit went down.
That was very detailed.
That was the first one.
He just said, get in the car.
Get in the cop car.
He called it a cop car.
So get in the back seat.
I'm just going to go on a limb and say that one was a lie.
You don't even want to hear the other ones?
No, I won't hear the other ones because I still got to hear a lie and the truth.
Okay, so that's the first one.
Okay.
Second one, when I was 12 years old, I wanted to become an emancipated minor. And I said, fuck you, mom. You're not my mom anymore. I hate you. And she said, you can't. And I couldn't become an emancipated minor. So I said, okay, well, then I want to go to boarding school. And she said, well, you can't go to boarding school. But if you want to leave so bad, you can go to military school. And I was like, fine. And I went to military school.
Okay.
And then the third one was...
Okay, that one's a lie. The military was the only true one, right? Because like I just see like, and the next one, and you're like,
I'm thinking of these as I go. You can't judge me.
I just know the next one's a lie. Like I can see it churning.
The third one's a lie.
Yeah,
and then the third one. Actually, I think I should. Can I start over?
Yeah, you can start over.
I'm gonna start over. Okay.
Okay, let's start.
First one. So I told my family I was going to kill him and she called the cops and the cop was like, get in the back of the cop car.
Okay.
And then the second one,
you just stall so much. You are so bad.
She's like, get in the back cop car. And I just got in the back cop car. She told me around. Second one.
Yeah.
I took a video of a girl in college masturbating with a frozen corn dog, and that got passed around the school, and she was a corn dog chick for the next 4 years of college.
Okay.
And then the third one, I skateboarded from Chile to Guatemala.
Okay.
In South America.
All right. So, okay. You already told me about the skateboarding thing, so I know that's the truth, right?
Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, go ahead and tell me.
No, I skateboard across the country.
Fuck. Yeah,
skateboarded South America.
I knew you skateboard. Okay, that was a lie. So you did do the corndog thing.
Corndog wasn't me. It was a friend in college. The truth was I threatened to kill my whole family.
Oh, wow. Jesus Christ.
My mom called the cops on me.
I could see that happening too, honestly. When you were saying that, I saw it happen, but it was just so shittily told that, like, I thought it was.
Or was it perfectly tied? Perfectly told.
Maybe it was. Because
I got you, dude.
You did get me. You got me.
You know, looking back, it was one of those things where I was just a frustrated little kid, and I was clearly not going to kill anyone.
Yeah.
Saying I'm going to kill everyone, and they should never have called the cops. My mom is just a bitch, you know, and called the cops.
You still think she's a bitch?
Who calls the cops on their 12-year-old kid?
I don't
for
know.
Saying
Maybe
that
the
he's going to kill them.
I don't know, dude. There's a lot of shootings going on. And, like, you kind of got
pre, a... This was pre a lot of shootings going on.
Yeah, but, I mean, you kind of got a shooter vibe going on. You,
that's hurtful.
Dude.
I am a proud gun owner, and I do not have... And as far as anyone knows, I've never shot anyone.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious, dude. That's awesome. Yeah, that was good. You got me. You got me. You won that one.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. But now I know, like, I can kind of tell when you're lying now. So I know that you, in order for you to lie, you need like at least 24 hours to come up with
it. Yeah, I'm bad. I am bad. I'm not that good on my feet.
Yeah. So next time I'm going to ask you something and I want you to lie to me because I know it's going to hurt my feelings. I'm going to give you 24 hours advance notice.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'll be like, okay, what'd you think of my set?
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me what you thought of my set in 24 hours.
Yeah, if I'm stammering around, I'm probably lying.
Yeah.
If I'm like, but a bit of that.
Just watching you like try to think of something is just like you cannot, like, just nothing was coming to you, dude, for so long.
Tough. Right on the spot. Like, even this podcast, I bet you most people come on your podcast and just think of lies right there. I had to make a list on my phone.
You did.
Has anyone else done that?
No, so far, no one else has like done that. They usually like. I'll tell them, like, you need to come up with these or whatever, but you know how comedians are. Like, they're not going to, like,
I mean, I did on the car ride over here, so it wasn't like I was thinking about it all week, but I had to make a list because I knew if I was thinking on the spot, there'd be a lot of ums.
Ums and stuff. Yeah. So I appreciate that, man. Thank you for doing the podcast and, like, preparing. Like, that's very professional of you. Ari Mass is a very professional comedian, everybody.
Thank you very much.
You want to plug anything?
Just check out my website, arimanis.com, 2 N's in Manis, links to social media and content there for your liking.
Oh, also, are you still doing your apartment show?
I still do a bi-monthly show in my living room in Los Angeles.
And they have t-shirts available for how much?
I got t-shirts for $20.
$20.
Super fun. It's been on Forbes, top 5 things to do in Los Angeles.
Yep.
It's been on comedyvortex.com,
yep.
Site that probably 10 people read. And it's on Airbnb.com, featured as one of the Airbnb experiences.
Yeah, I did it for, what, their little commercial or whatever?
Oh, yeah, you were there on the commercial day.
Oh,
yeah.
My God, it was so fucking hot in that place.
I've since actually moved next door in the same building to a bigger apartment, and I got a better AC.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's
I was sweating my fucking dick off in that place. I was like, I'm going to pass out. Anyway, that was Ari Manis, The Lies We Tell.